welcome to episode 10 of my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And we've hit the double figures. I can't believe we're on 10 episodes, Dodds. Dodds is the producer of the show.
It doesn't feel like we've done 10 episodes. It's gone very quickly, I think.
No, I was really surprised when we said this was the 10th episode. It's gone really fast.
I think there's already been quite a lot going on, I think. Especially if you think back to last week's episode, it was an emotional one.
It was quite emotional. Hopefully with this week's won't be as emotional. It's going to be quite empowering, I think, this week's one. 10 episodes. So what have we had? We've had laughs, we've had tears, we've had a great guest, we're going to get more guests.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And we've had some fantastic submissions, and we've had loads of submissions in the last couple of weeks, so I just want to say thank you so much for that. And also, the big thing for us is that we're still on 5-star reviews. I can't believe it. 100% 5-star.
Quite a few this week as well, so
yeah,
appreciate that. How do you feel after doing these 10 episodes, you know, at the beginning? I mean, you said in previous episodes that you didn't really want to do them. So how do you feel about now 10 episodes in? Do you feel like you've changed?
I love it. I love doing the podcast now.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's good. What's your the bit that you were most scared of, or the bit that you didn't think you'd enjoy the most?
I think it was just putting myself out there. I'm not a big fan of putting my head above the parapet and being like exposed and talking about topics that are quite they've generated conversation, let's just say. So it made me nervous to do that, whether I was valid, whether I was the right person to say those things. But the feedback that I've had is amazing. I love hearing from you all when you say that you listen to the podcast. I just want to say thank you. No, I love it. I love it more than I do the LinkedIn videos.
Well,
But with last week, we had an absolute breakthrough. So we took a clip of the podcast, actually. So it's something that where we were talking about Bird Box and Netflix the other week in the podcast. We took that clip and Dodds clipped it for me, edited it all, and we put it on LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn. And it's gone viral. I've gone viral. What's the latest count? About 130,000 views?
Yeah, 130, 140. But I think usually, you know, 10,000 is like the line that we see as anything above 10 is good.
Yeah.
That's what we usually think, so.
Bless me.
Bless you. I thought you were going to apologise.
I'm sorry.
That'll become clear a little bit later on.
That will, and that's why that won't be edited out.
But this is done like 10 times better.
It's just crazy. I can't believe it. I can't believe how many people. I kept watching it go up.
Yeah, and up, all the messages
and
as well.
Up, and all the comments, and I was just like
some of the comments. So it was about Bird Box, and it was about the Bird Box marketing, wasn't it? But then, you get lots of comments agreeing or disagreeing, and then there'd be the occasional, like whether or not what they thought of Bird Box, like
slagging off Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Like, so we might have missed the point, but.
Whatever floats your boat.
It's good for engagement, so.
But it was really weird because I went for a drink on the way home on Friday, and two friends of friends were in the bar we were in, and they were like, "I've seen your video." What? It's just insane.
Well, is that the first time that somebody? I guess you knew them, didn't you?
I know them. Yeah, I've not been recognized.
Getting lots of
yet.
Messages from people you don't know. I've seen on LinkedIn, Instagram as well, especially.
Yeah. So
bizarre week.
A really bizarre
fandom
week.
Fandom looks like. Stardom, sorry.
A really, really bizarre fandom. I've gone viral. Any brands want to send me some stuff? I'm always here.
I'm always here.
I'm always here. Yeah, very bizarre. But amazing. Absolutely incredible. So it's helped us. So I think I don't like it. I didn't like doing it. I hate being in front of the camera. I hate the camera recording me. And it takes us so long when we do the specific LinkedIn videos about social media updates. I just don't like it. It takes me a while to warm up. But we're getting faster at those as well. So I think for me, what I did is I put off for so long actually doing any type of personal branding and videos, especially because I just don't really like being in front of the camera. But what it's taught me is that you always think of the worst scenario in your head when you put those off, and worrying can actually stop you from doing it. So my advice to anyone after the video's going so well, especially the latest one, is that just give something a try and put yourself out there, and it's never going to be as bad as you think it is. I can guarantee that, because in your mind you always make scenarios a lot worse than what they actually are. So give something a test. If it doesn't work, the beauty of social media is you can just take it down. Just get rid of it, start again, learn your lessons and do something new. But don't let the worry put you off from actually doing something.
That's a fair point. What you said you had, you were getting back into the gym last week. How's that been going?
Good.
I saw you in there this morning.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I only did an hour last week. I should do more. But I am wearing my Fitbit now, so I can check how many steps I've done. Not enough today. I tried a little bit last week, but I just found it far too hard to get up. So I was talking to one of the guys in the office, and they were telling me about a chronotype. Have you ever heard of it?
No, what's that? Sounds like a superhero power.
Well, yeah, it is. It's basically, it's according to a psychologist and sleep specialist from America, there are four different chronotypes that people fall into, and it's all around your personal internal clock and rhythm. So it's helping your sleep routine to make you sleep better, but also make you more efficient with your time.
Right.
So now I've done a little quiz to figure out which one I was, because I'm one thing that I really want to do this year is get better at getting up in the morning, because I feel like by not being able to get up in the morning, it makes me less efficient with my day. Mm. And I want to get better at being a morning person so I can really hit the ground running in the morning, come in and be prepared.
I think you get more done in the morning as well.
Yeah.
Especially if you're getting before.
Well, it depends on your chronotype. So...
what did the test say?
The test said that I was a bear.
Right.
And bears, it says about a bear, a bear's internal clock tracks the rise and fall of the sun. They need a full 8 hours sleep, which I definitely do. And it suggests that I get up at 7 and do a few minutes of exercise at 7, then eat breakfast at 7:30. Basically do your difficult tasks in the morning, go for a walk at 12, and then it says to have a little nap or meditate around 2:30. Which would be nice. Love a little afternoon.
I would love for
a little afternoon nap.
There'd be a meeting postponed because you're having a little nap.
Can't do 2 o'clock. I'm napping.
Yeah. Because I'm a bear.
And then it tells me that I should be doing calls and emails in the afternoon.
That's really interesting.
And then exercise in the evening.
Can I do it?
Yeah, you can do it. I think you should do it. And then turn off all screens at 10 p.m. Now, I did try this last year. I tried to not look at my phone past 9 p.m. And I actually really enjoyed it. And then I just got sucked back into the scrolling through Instagram and looking at my email. So I'm going to try that again. And then go to sleep by 11 o'clock. So my plan, and I will keep you updated on how I get on, is to try and live like this chronotype and see how I feel and what impact it has on me. One thing that we were going to talk about from the news from last week was the 10-year challenge. I don't know if you saw this. I presume that you did, but the 10-year challenge popped up with a variety of celebrities posting their pictures from 10 years ago and from now to have a comparison. And it went viral. Did you do it, Dodds?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Not because I felt like it was a bit showy off, eh? That's my honest answer.
I agree.
If I went, look how far I've come as an individual, I thought.
I agree.
I'm not really good at tooting my own horn.
No.
I don't know if that's a saying.
No. But I also think it links back to what we were talking about the other week about mental health and social media and the link between the two and the pressure that that girls put on themselves to be seen a certain way. So what I saw, and I didn't see every post, so I don't know the post, but this post that I did see were very highly curated images from 10 years ago. They weren't like awful. They were topics of conversation, but they weren't terrible. it looked like as well from our, because one of the guys downstairs did actually, Mike, the strategy director, had a look at the early engagement of who was posting, and it looked like it was 80% female, and then 90% of those were selfie shots.
Yeah.
So it's very focused on the physical, which relates back to what we were talking about, this need for social media and the pressure it puts on people to always look their best.
So do you think it's like a good thing because they may be talking about them looking better, or do you think it's like that's a thinly veiled attempt at getting attention about how well you look now?
Yeah, I think everyone likes compliments, don't they? So I think that what is interesting is that I didn't see any bad picture. I didn't see negative pictures. I didn't see anyone that was like put
I
on
look
a
worse
lot.
Now.
Than yeah, they look worse now than they did 10 years ago. Yeah. It was all people that had improved over that 10-year period, which I think is an interesting thing. That it is very much centered around people wanting to get, yeah, complimented on how much they've changed. I think, as we mentioned in a couple of episodes ago, about how mental health is both good and bad for your mental health, the 10-year challenge, similar to the no makeup selfie, is obviously very empowering. It gives people an opportunity to change perceptions on how you used to look and what you look like now. And it's also allowing people to go back on old photos, which you'd probably just delete because you probably hated your hair back then, to sort of compare yourself against where you are now. So it's like an improvement thing. So there's two sides of it. There's one where it is obviously like people are posting just to get compliments on how much better they look. But there's also an empowerment thing where people are posting to people who've had eating disorders 10 years ago and are now much healthier, people who had unfortunately had acid thrown on their face and it was just right after, and then 10 years later they look completely different. And I think have you seen this one about the girl with Down syndrome who 10 years ago was told that she wasn't going to live to this age, and she's here, so she's posted that. So there are empowering stories that have come out of this movement as well. So it just highlights the fact that social media is both good and bad for mental health, depending on how you use it. There's been a lot of talk about where it started, the 10-year movement. The 10-year challenge, where did it come from? People are very sceptical that Facebook started it so they could monitor your face changes for their facial recognition technology, which is terrifying if they did.
I can't imagine, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd be surprised if they've said that's how they've gone about it.
It's that in itself is, you can just see that it's people very sceptical about Facebook holding your data, then it then means that people start worrying about every sort of movement that goes on Facebook.
That's brilliant. It's such a leap as well, isn't it? That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the admission submission. As I said before, we've had quite a few of these this week. And I want to say thanks. This is quite a long one, so I'm not going to read it out word for word. But someone has sent a submission in that's, the subject's called Diversity Annoys Me. And the message reads, I know I don't mean the dance troupe, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the titles of them as well.
I am as well. And I'll just read out the first two paragraphs because it's quite long. So it says, let me just state, I am not against diversity and I'm not advocating hiring people in the image of yourself at all, as we absolutely need to be representative of society. But more than that, diversity, inclusivity brings about diversity of thought, and this is vital to spark creativity and new ideas. We wouldn't have innovation if everyone was the same. It's just the positive discrimination that annoys me. I don't just want to be hired because I tick a certain diversity box. I want to be hired because I'm the right person for the job, and it's a bonus that I tick a few diversity boxes. And it really got me thinking about Yeah, I completely agree. And I've had this thought a few times in my career that I've just thought, I don't want to be hired just for being a woman. And it's a weird thing because it's never been said to me. And I don't know why that I'd ever think that. But it's also something you've got to think about when you are hiring people as well as a leader. You've got to think about, it's tricky waters to navigate as someone who is in hiring in a company, because one, you do want that diversity of thought, but two, you don't want to lose the most strongest candidate because they don't fall into the bracket of what you had in your head of what you need.
So what are we saying about diversity here? We're saying that it annoys you. Do you agree with that statement? Diversity annoys me. Or are you saying that you do need to take into account diversity?
I don't think we should go so far on diversity where it makes the decisions for you. I think you should make a decision based on the right candidate for the job if you're hiring.
Is that even like a thing that people talk about? Like, do social chain get negative press for not hiring X amount of...
No.
Like, is it a problem?
In society, it is, I think.
Interesting.
But not not here.
I've given it zero thought to any company ever.
Mm.
But then I'm not discriminated against, I guess.
Yeah.
So here's an example that I think we talked about in a previous podcast where it was like, yeah, it was a boardroom selling mainly female products and it was all full of
male
old white men.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in that situation you need to hire a young female who, because that's who the products were for?
Yeah.
Solely on the fact that she's a young female.
A successful one, though. So you can look at her CVs and capabilities.
But could you put, like, we're looking to hire a young female?
No.
You're not allowed to say that?
No. No, no.
But then if there was somebody with more credentials who was a guy, but you're looking to get...
But the guy, a guy might...
Do you know what I mean? I'm really just playing devil's advocate
here.
I know. But I'm like, in that situation, you would hire the female over the male. Would you not?
Probably if they've got experience in working at that higher level and know the industry and is a consumer, I think that's wise. But a man might come in and have worked in retail for an online retail for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And might have more experience in
female marketing
than a lady who is just a woman.
So even in that scenario, where you are ideally looking for somebody to reach that, you can still get...
Yeah, you can still be an expert in an area. Like, we've done a video on Gen Zs this morning. I'm not a Gen Z, but I could become an expert in how to talk to Gen Zs, and then people then could come and speak to me about how to talk to Gen Zs,
rather than hiring a Gen Z. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's all about your
experience.
You're all about your experience and finding the right person for what you're looking for. In terms of experience and knowledge. So, Dodds, we've covered most things now, and it's on to our main topic of the week, which this week is, I shouldn't say this, but I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
What have you done?
What haven't I done? No, it came off the back of a few conversations. So it was triggered by, I saw an article that popped into my inbox that read that we should stop apologising. And it just triggered something in my mind where I realised that actually I do apologise probably too much when I don't need to.
It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen How I Met Your Mother, but it's like a glass shattering effect where like someone points something out that you never noticed before and then
it's everywhere.
You just can't stop noticing it.
Yeah, everywhere. And then I've seen two different sets of people where we've talked about the difference between the Americans and the British. So one of my friends that I saw on Saturday has moved out to America. Hi, Jill, because I know you listen sometimes. She's moved out to Portland with her husband and her family. And she was saying that everything kind of feels like normal until then. She goes out and she just notices how confident the Americans are, but it also is reflected in how much the British apologise for everything. And it made me think, I do it all the time, and I think sometimes it all detracts from what I'm saying and the power of the things that I'm saying. I think I come across a little, it's not strong enough what I'm saying because I apologise before I say something. So what I've decided to do, and a little promise to you, the listeners, and also to Dodds, is I'm not going to apologise. I'm going to stop saying sorry for a week. And I'm going to report back in my update at the beginning of next week's show.
What are the boundaries on that? Because I'd hate to for you to just keep, like, if you make a mistake and then just stubbornly refuse to apologise.
So
is that what you mean?
There's a thing with apologising whereby, and what I'm talking about apologising, whereby I'm going to stop apologising for things that I don't need to apologise for. So if I've made a mistake, of course I'm going to apologise, because that actually does make you a better leader. So if you apologise, if you've made an error and then you apologise to the people that work with you, that makes you seem more genuine, a stronger leader, and someone who's willing to admit.
What's that?
I don't know.
I had a flashback to, you know, when I was in Bali and there was an earthquake.
that's the second time you said that, you know. It must have impacted you.
Well, yeah, it was an earthquake.
right, I'll start that again.
Sorry about that. God, I don't know.
We don't know what
that was.
Someone telling me that I should apologise.
Yeah. I just apologised for that noise that had nothing to do with me.
So the fact that there's a lot of studies, but we lose respect for a leader when they fail to acknowledge their mistake, because it makes them look like their ego is too big to say sorry. So if I make a mistake or something that I need to apologise for, I will apologise. But the boundaries are that I will not apologise for silly things that are out of my control.
So I totally agree with that. I think there's something about if someone just puts their hands up and say, especially as a leader or a manager or whatever, and goes, I'm sorry, then you're like, that's the end of that conversation. You know that they know, kind of thing. Yeah. But then if somebody's like apologising for, I don't know, not holding the door open, or just like loads of different things, then it's like, well, it almost becomes annoying.
It's really annoying.
So we did some research before we did this podcast, which is might come as a shock to some people, but we do research that said a recent survey found that 1,000 of more than 1,000 Brits found that the average person says sorry about 8 times a day.
It is crazy.
And 1 in 8 people apologise up to 20 times a day. And I'm sure instantly anybody listening will just think of that one person that just apologises all the time.
You can't make 8 mistakes in a day. You can't. That must be impossible.
So I made a list, Katie, of things that British people apologise for. And I thought we could go through it and see, you know, if you do any of these, then yes, I think you should stop apologising all the time. So if we go through it. Do you apologise, Katie, if somebody else bumps into you?
Yeah, do you not? If someone bumps into you in the street?
I can think of everyone's bumped into an aisle in Tesco, you know, when they've got the bits at the end of the aisle, and then it's like Malteser bunnies or something, and I apologised to it. And then I just felt really stupid after.
I'm sure it was really grateful for the apology.
Yeah. Okay, so the second one. Do you apologise when you call somebody?
Yeah, I think I do.
I'm
sorry to bother you.
Oh, sorry to bother you.
Yeah, sorry to bother you. Why am I sorry to bother them? I'm ringing them for
a
reason.
That's such a British thing. It's so polite, isn't it?
I don't know.
Do you, and there's proof in this podcast that I think you do, apologise for sneezing?
I did.
Or loud noises that ruin podcasts?
Yep, apologise for sneezing, yep.
When we're in the kitchen at Social Chain, do you apologise when you're trying to get through to the fridge?
Yes, when I check, because our kitchen is...
That's my favourite one on the list. Because you do. I'm hungry, I'm trying to get to the fridge.
Someone's in the way.
I'm just, you know.
So, you know what?
Sorry,
it's usually,
I'm hungry.
Do you know who it's usually?
What?
A dog. So it could be Louis.
You apologise to a dog, yeah.
The dog. And he's in the way of the drawer where the crisps are.
Oh, sorry, mate. Just trying to get in there.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Louis. Will you just move out my way?
If somebody's in front of the cutlery, I'm like, oh, sorry, can I get a fork?
Yeah.
I just need a fork. I shouldn't really have to apologise for a fork. Sorry, can I get a spoon?
Yeah.
Even though they're not controlling the spoons, I'm just apologising for it. That's my favourite one. Do you apologise when you're in a shop and you haven't got the right amount of change for, say, if you're trying to buy something under £1 and you give them a larger note, do you apologise?
Yeah, probably.
But
trying to break. I'm sorry, I've got to break a note. Yeah,
that's you know.
Still
sure
money.
Happy. Yeah, I'm sure he's happy about it. But yeah, I think there's something very British about apologising for not having the right amount of change.
Done that one.
Do you apologise when you're inquiring if a chair is free?
It's Excuse me, someone sat there.
Sorry, can I use this chair?
Yep.
Apologizing about using a chair that no one's sat in.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, do you apologize for having to send food back at a restaurant?
Oh, I definitely do that. I hate doing that. Even though it's their fault and what they've made could make you poorly or potentially kill you, you apologize because you don't want to make a fuss. That's so, like, I'm really sorry.
Well, sometimes you'll eat, like, I would just eat it. Even if I don't like
would
it.
You?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've done that. There's something about sending it back that, like, I don't want to be that guy, but this is completely different to what I've ordered.
I've got a lot better at sending food back, but it does. I don't like it. I just don't like making a fuss.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yes.
So you could potentially be the person who apologises 20 times a day.
No, not 20. I'd hope that wouldn't go that far, because I'd like to think that my sorries actually mean something, but when you're apologising that much, it definitely will lose value.
I'm sure it's lost value to Louis when he's got his head in the fridge.
When he's in the way of my crisps.
Yeah, apologising again.
She's not sorry.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
I think a lot of the time, though, maybe I don't say it 20 times, I hope I don't, but I think a lot of it is down to my imposter syndrome, especially in work. I think I apologise. So, like, if I get an email and I've not replied for a few days because I'm very busy and I'm in and out of meetings, I'll start the email with, apologies for the delay. Why do I don't need to do that.
No. So what, you think it's because you're inconveniencing?
Yeah, I think, and also because, yeah, I think if I say sorry before I do something, it makes it look less threatening, I think.
And how is that tied to your imposter syndrome?
Because I'm frightened of being exposed, yeah.
So you don't want to threaten anybody in case they turn on you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. So it makes it look like I'm less scary. Not that I intentionally do this, but I think this is why.
It's like a quick way to make friends. Not friends, but like...
Not friends. But it also, I think it loses respect as well. So I've also done a bit of reading for this podcast because...
We know what we're doing now.
Yeah, we're 10 episodes in. 10 in, we know what we're doing. And one of the articles I read about saying sorry all the time is that what you could try is changing the sorry for a thank you. So when you're late, you could, instead of saying sorry, I'm late, you can say thanks for waiting. Or sorry for venting could be thank you for listening. So it's the same point, it's just articulated in a different way.
And I guess thank you is nicer than... I'd rather somebody thanked me than apologised, if it's the same point.
So I think that's what I'll try. So when I say that I'm going to give it up for a week, I'm going to not just not apologise and look like I've just turned really rude, that I'll change my sorries for thank yous and I'll see what impact that has over the course of the week.
Do you want to say that you're...
Because it's Monday today as well, so we've got a full week on it. We're recording earlier than normal. So I've actually got a full week where I can test this theory out. Because I think me saying sorry all the time, it's like I'm apologising for even being around. So I think changing the thinking in my brain to something else won't make it me really dead, cold, not approachable. I think it all mean that I should hopefully feel more confident. I think it's more about my confidence than anything else.
So it's more tied to your tackling your imposter syndrome and making it worthwhile that you feel like you're supposed to be where you are and you're not apologising for being where you are over becoming the rude
boss. It's definitely more about me gaining confidence and tackling that inner imposter than it is me just looking like a rude boss bitch.
I'd love to come in next week and be like, she was so horrible. She was horrible to me.
No, I'm hoping that it's going to empower me rather than...
She bumped into me and didn't apologise.
So it's kind of short but sweet, I think, this week. But hopefully you've found it useful. I don't think the length of the podcast is an indication of how good it is. And I just want to say thank you again to all the 65 people that have voted us 5-star, 100% 5-star still. So I want to say thank you for that. And also I'd love for you to comment in either on the website or on the Apple podcast page about what you've apologized for that's the most ridiculous thing that you've apologized for, because I'd love to hear that as well.
Yeah, it'd be fun if you can beat a Malteser bunny aisle thing.
Yeah, you can beat Dodds apologizing to the supermarket aisle or me apologizing to a dog, then you're on to a winner.
I don't know which of those two is worse.
I don't know which is worse.
They're on a par, maybe.
But yeah, I just want to say thank you again so much for listening and for your feedback and for your admission submissions. The website is www.katieleeson.com, and we can't wait to see you again next week. Thank you.
That was running out of time. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.